It's big. One of the great treasures of the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg is one of the last and most significant of Rembrandt's paintings, The Return of the Prodigal Son. In this painting, he captures the pivotal moment of today's gospel from Luke as the father throws his arms around his repentant son, welcoming him back to his home and into his life. With the typical red, gold, white, and umber tones of his later work, Rembrandt creates one of the most moving of paintings, transforming a quiet moment in time into an eternity as the father, hands on his son's shoulders, prepares to offer him a kiss. Here, the Christian ideal of mercy and forgiveness is interpreted with extraordinary solemnity without the loss of the universal emotions of sorrow, love, mercy, and forgiveness. Perhaps it is so because it evokes so many emotions in the people who see it, because it's the story itself is so human, so universal, and so moving. As the scribes and Pharisees murmur, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them," Jesus replies with this parable. And there is a point in Jesus telling the story when he does, for it not only is an encouragement to the tax collectors and the sinners who find comfort and forgiveness in Christ's words, it is also an invitation to the Pharisees and scribes to examine themselves, acknowledge their sinfulness, and seek forgiveness. The parable is often looked on as incorporating two types of sinfulness, sometimes referred to as the sin of the Gentiles and the sin of the Jews. In the younger son, whose actions represent the Gentiles, is what we might call the sins of excess, by which we allow our appetites to lead us astray. Lust, gluttony, avarice, whatever pleases the body and the senses, to the degree that it leaves little place for considering the good of others in our lives, and therefore leaving little place for God. The older son represents the sin of the Jews, which we simply call self-righteousness. It is less a sin of the senses and more a sin of the intellect. Pride, envy, and that constant need to judge the words and actions of others. So focused are they on the letter of the law that they become blind to its spirit. And so concerned that they lose sight of the spirit and are so concerned with the strict sense of justice that they refuse to recognize mercy and forgiveness even as a prerogative of God. Such labels, however, are misleading, since we Gentiles also sin by self-righteousness, and excess can also be found among the non-Gentiles of the world. The fact that both types are universal sins, of which we are all guilty to some degree or another. On the occasion of telling of the parable, the younger son seems to represent the sinners who were gathered around Christ and find forgiveness. Those who were lost in hearing Christ and his message are found, and those coming back, and their coming back demands a celebration. As the father speaks to the older brother, pleading with him to share in his joy, he speaks in imperatives. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. This brother of yours was dead and has come back to life, was lost and is found. The younger son may not deserve the welcoming forgiveness of the father, but as a father,
he could not have acted otherwise. Yet his joy needs to be shared with all those that he loves. And so he pleads with the older son to join in the celebration. And the question which the parable raises here is left open. And it seems to be aimed at the scribes and the Pharisees, as well as the scribes and the Pharisees found among us. Will we join in the feasting, or will we stubbornly remain outside? Can the scribes and the Pharisees accept, can we accept, the scandalous generosity of God's mercy and forgiveness to those whom we might consider spiritually and otherwise inferior to ourselves? It is an interesting and difficult question. Most of us are men and women who live by rules, or at least try to live by them. The older son, seeing him as somehow getting the short end of the stick, we see the older son as somehow getting the short end of the stick. After all, what is the good of acting rightly if we do not receive the reward to which we believe we are entitled? But to go there is to lose sight of the parable's true focus, which is God's forgiveness and mercy, and his joy in finding the lost. This parable, no parable, nothing in our human experience, can hold out for us a complete picture of who our God is. But Jesus has certainly tried to underline here in the prodigal son the mercy and forgiveness of God, which our human minds and spirits can never fully understand nor fully appreciate. And the openness of the parable leaves us hanging. Does the older son enter the celebration, or does he remain outside? We don't know, and that itself stands as a sign of hope that the door is not closed. The door of God's mercy and forgiveness are there when and if we choose to enter into them. And if we do, then the celebration begins anew. Beyond this, if we need to go beyond the mystery of forgiveness, Paul's reading from Corinthians tells us today that not only is Christ the new salvation that opens the door for us, but he has made us something which we might not think of ourselves capable of becoming. He has made us ministers of reconciliation. In simpler words, he has made us men and women who, through the faith we have received and the mercy we have been shown, are to bring that friendship and love of God to others. Impossible, you might say, too much for you to be expected to do. But listen. Listen to the last line of today's reading from Corinthians. For our sakes, God made him who did not know sin to be sin, so that we might become the very holiness of God. Listen again. For our sakes, God made him who did not know sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the very holiness of God. Take that line home with you this week, and not only think about it, pray about it. Christ took on human sin so that we might become holy. Nothing from the brush of Rembrandt or any other painter can surpass those words in communicating the reality of God's love and forgiveness for each of us. It is a reality that should call forth some response from us, each of us. If we understand the forgiveness that is ours in Christ, and if we accept that forgiveness, then somehow we, you and I, must find a way, with the Lord's help, of course, to be ministers of his reconciliation, giving to others what we have so freely received from God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.